Oh yeah, recording, still recording. Yeah, okay. So it's I think it's recording. So Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let's continue with where we stood last time with few maybe additions related to the ayah before about muttaqin. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه أو لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. One further note about لا ريب is that we translate as no doubt, and we don't discuss any further. The word used is raib, not shak. Shak is the doubt, plain shak. But raib is more like doubt combined with some kind of accusation. And the use of raib here meaning that there were many accusations about us, and this is doubtful, this is from you, this is from some Christian servant working in Mecca, educating you about that. This is maybe from another source. And also nowadays, not nowadays, ancient time, because this point of view has been extinct now. The church claimed that Muhammad was actually a bishop of the church, and he was from the Arusian, the people who believe in the don't believe in Trinity or the divinity of Christ, and he made a rebellion and so on. So he's a sophisticated man and bishop. So and the Quran is definitely from him because he's such a sophisticated scholar. That's it. So all these are accusations. And doubts related to the accusation are doubts based on certain accusation. Like I said, if you see someone, you know that he's not from a rich family, he doesn't have a job which brings that much money, and he's driving a luxury car like a Ferrari, then you may doubt what this young guy is doing. Is he selling drugs, for example? And then this will be not only shak, it will be raib. There's a riba, there's a question about that. Anyway, this is the raib. So raib is a shak, is a doubt, but doubt connected with a and in relation to an accusation, not just plain doubt. While when the sunnah said, when the fuqaha talk about the day of doubt, is it today is the first of Ramadan or the 30th of the month before, they call it Yawm al-Shak, not Yawm al-Rayb, Yawm al-Shak. There's no accusation. Is it the first of Ramadan or not? There's nothing to be accused or not accused there. So Shak is a plain Shak, plain doubt, and Rayb is related to and the fuqaha use the word the people of riba, the people of doubtful behavior, are they criminal or not? There's accusation against them, making people doubting their the way they behave or the way they make money or something like that. So that's la raib. So raib is stronger. It's saying there's no these ribas are not founded, all these doubts are not founded, and the accusations are wrong. Obviously, the Quran does not answer the accusation here, it answers elsewhere, because no way you can deal with all issues and all points in just a 5-6 words ayah. It's impossible. This is rationally and logically impossible. So it has to be dealt elsewhere. It's enough for the assertion. There's no doubt. There's no riba. There's all these accusations as false, and the doubt based on these accusations should not exist. And al Muttaqin once more said the direct meaning of the translation is this, those who protect themselves. And that's the English translation of Bextal, calling it those who work evil in that location. And other places in the Quran is, in matter of accuracy, correct. In matter of logical necessity, how they can work evil is by recognizing or appreciating the relation to Allah. So the deeper meaning, so not nearly the word direct meaning, but it could not be, you could not be warding evil or protecting yourself from God's punishment until you are aware about his existence, aware of his relation to the universe, the creative relation that he's the creator, aware about his mastery relation or royal relation that he's the commander and the lawmaker, and aware that the universe being created with certain purposes should test to have conscious beings who are capable of making judgment and make a decision based on these judgments. So free agents. There must be limited beings because an absolute free agent is only Allah, and there's no way such a being can be created. It's uncreatable. That's impossible. It does not exist. It contradicts rational necessity. So they will be limited beings, but they have capability of judgment and making decisions based on those judgment or against those judgment. And these are not free agents, human beings. And why is there a purpose for that? It's just a huge cosmic drama which Allah is enjoying. Like you go to the theater and enjoy a movie just for pure enjoyment, watching it. No, the that's not the, why Allah created these. He has a certain purpose to test them for a certain final purpose, which we'll discuss along in the Quran and many other places. But to summarize what the Sufis have said, he created this conscious being so that they can become divine. They can become so close to him that they are worthy of his companionship in paradise. And he did not want that to be by force. Now that's easy, that's not a problem. He wanted that by their choice and their own struggle. So they will be deserving for that on their own merits. That's a Sufi interpretation. They summarize, they say that I was a hidden treasure. I wanted to be known and appreciated. This way, that's why I created the creation. Obviously, what I mean, ultimately the conscious creations, the peak of the creation, like humans and other beings, possibly in other stars and other planets elsewhere in the wide universe. There could be millions, possibly billions of such conscious beings to humans, and they have been created for the same purpose also, to participate in the joy of the divine existence and to enjoy the companionship in paradise, but on their own merits, by their own action, not by Allah enforcing them, but they live them by choice. So if you're aware about all of that, then you will be necessarily, if there's an awareness and it is, you're conscious about it, aware, then you will be the one who will be warding evil and preventing yourself from falling anything which make you fail the exam and losing the beautiful results which is being ready and waiting for you. So that's not the word meaning. The word meaning is just this, those who self-protect, those who are protecting themselves, or those who ward evil. Because you protect yourself from something bad, something evil, something painful. So those who ward evil or protecting themselves. But it can't be conceived except by insisting that the deeper meaning of being warding evil is that you must be God aware. Otherwise, it does not make any sense. It can't be. You cannot be warding evil. Even definition of evil does not make any sense until you are God aware. And in all these awareness levels, awareness of the existence, awareness of the creative action in the universe, awareness of the legislative and commanding action in the universe, awareness about the purpose of the universe, awareness about the testing that the universe is the testing universe, for the purpose of the universe and your purpose in the universe, etc. Well, plenty of that is documented in the Quran. It will come part of it later. Now, the next ayah says, الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة وما رزقناهم ينفقون. Now, as I said, the main tafasir we are referring to is Tabari and Razi and few others. Tabari is quite classical. He discusses few things which I feel are not that important. For example, he discusses these ayah and the next one referring to the same type of mu'mineen or two classes. Is the لئمن بالغيب ويقومون الصلاة وما رزقهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليكم وما من قبلكم بالآخرة those who believe in غيب ويقيمون الصلاة establish الصلاة and from that what they have bestowed on them they spend والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليكم وما من قبلك those who believe in that what has revealed to you and revealed before you وبالآخرة هم يقولون and they believe in الآخرة some scholars some of the Salaf Tabari is very concerned about what has been narrated from the Salaf from Ibn Abbas and others, especially Ibn Abbas, the master one in that category. Some scholars said the first ayah, the Yunumun bil Ghaib, relates to the Arab believers because they did not have any belief in Ghaib before that. They didn't have any previous revelation. They are not aware about that. And the other ayah is referring to the people of the book because they believe in the previous revelation, but they add to it the belief in the current revelation. That's the believer of the book. They became believer by believing in the revelation of Muhammad, and they already believed in the previous book. And some other scholars said of the Salaf, no, that this is all, it fits for all believers. Even the Arabs, after they have become believers in the Ghaib, they believe also part of the Ghaib is the previous revelation. They are mu'minin of that. And the people of the book also, they are definitely mu'minin of the Ghaib, much wider than just in the previous revelation, but through the previous revelation. So I think that issue, Tabari seems to be giving it a little bit more weight than it deserves. I don't see how much it contribute to understanding of the Quran, unless he wants really to stress at the time of the revelation, these two categories of believers has been distinct and addressed separately, although they are believers. But my feeling is that maybe that's for historical reason, maybe have a bit of value, but I don't see very much merit in that. And also one part of his argument is, let's say, he mentioned two types of believer and two types of kafirin, the kafirin and munafiqin, but this is not accurate. So it seems to me that this approach is not very persuasive. The approach of Razi is better. He did not discuss that issue at all or does fail to it. It is, he started الذين يؤمنون بالغيب وثمان صلاة ما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون, this is part of the Imam al-Ghaib, is believing in the revelation to Muhammad and the previous prophets and believing in Akhir is part of it, but it has been adjoined with and, like adjoining the specific or the details to the general. And that's very, very well permissible in Arabic and in all language and in all rational discourse. You may mention general principle and then you say, then certain subcategories and sub are worthy of certain address or certain emphasis, you mention them after that. With and, as if they are separate, but they are really a subcategory of the first one. So Razi approach is better. There are Razi addresses that quite extensively. These two ayahs, but they start really by doing word by word essentially. So first of all, some few linguistics. I will not go into very picky linguistic issues because we are doing the translation, but. It is not bad to hint to them is that الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ, what is its position in I'Arab, in conjugation and declination, in grammar. Some say الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ is just attribute to المتقين. So the المتقين, the ones who have the attributes or their characteristics that يُؤْمِنُونَ بالغيب. So in that case, it is because it's sifa, it's adjective, It is majrur. It is in a dative dative position, because al-muttaqin is hudan lil-muttaqin, for the muttaqin. The muttaqin is majrur, is in a dative position after the word for. So this one is majrur. But this is linguistic fine points. But this is majrur. It's just a position. There's no jar, no minus, no e at the end or anything. That doesn't. It is just in the position. If it would have been one word, you could see the sign of jarra at the end, but it is not there. It is in position of majrur. Or it could be mansub al madh. I mean those who yu'minun bil ghaib. I mean that. I mean those. That's also obviously that will be accusative. That will be mansub mahal nasb. And it could be marfu, just that it is new start, not talking about the muttaqin. He is starting completely anew about these people in the form that they are a new sentence whatsoever. So it's maharrafa. I think this is for the Arabic analyst is maybe of some importance, but here it doesn't really add much more to the meaning. I would say all three aspects are included, and that's one of the aspects of the Quran, that it's possible to have these three aspects, and all of them do contribute to the meaning. So it's an attribute for the muttaqin, but also Allah mentioned these details, the specification to show the importance. I mean those, I stress those with these attributes, and also it can be started with Al-Ladina Bilal, these are worthy of praise and so on their own, even if they are not from Muttaqeen, but they are necessarily from Muttaqeen, but they are on their own merit worthy of mentioning. So that's this one. Then he discussed the issue of Al-Ladina Yu'minuna Bil Ghaib. Is it an explanation for the meaning of Muttaqeen, or is this something extra? And he concludes, he discussed various things and so on, because he say al-muttaqi is the one who does all the good deeds and avoid all the bad deeds. But that's not a muttaqi. If I say the one who wards evil, avoids evil, avoids, and avoiding evil is essentially by avoiding what's prohibited, but this is evil, or committing and performing what's obligatory. Because if you don't do the obligatory, you have committed. If you fail to do the obligatory, you have committed. You have failed in the obligation. That's a sin. That's a ma'asiyah. So the ones who do not fall in ma'asiyah, either negative ma'asiyah by leaving what they are obliged to do, or direct ma'asiyah by doing what they are prohibited to do. So it is, but this is actually more. It's not really just tafsir. It's not an explanation of the meaning of muttaqin, but it's connected by logic and necessity to muttaqin. So that's, we cannot say al-muttaqin are those who are yu'minu bil-ghaib. Al-muttaqin is something else. The one who ward evil, the one who Allah aware. They have the characteristic related to the fact that they are Allah aware and they are warding evil, is that they believe in ghaib. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. So the discussion there has merit that this is not necessarily the meaning of muttaqin, but it's connected by rational necessity to being a muttaqi, that you believe in ghaib, qiyam salat, because you could not be, as we connected warding evil or self-protection to the fact of being God aware. Without that, it doesn't make any sense. Also being God aware connect also the fact that you believe in ghaib, qiyam salat, ma razaqnahum yunfiqun, as further details of being God aware. So another details. So it's not tafsir of the word, but it is rationally what is included in being muttaqi and including being God aware. It should be and necessarily should be. Otherwise, the awareness is not the awareness which Allah wants from you, and the one which will be questioned about it in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that has a bit, that's such a study in these things, is part of the meaning or sell extra from the meaning. It's definitely is connected rationally with the meaning, have some merit, definitely a merit. So it's not conceivable that you will be from muttaqin without having this. Then you are not muttaqin. You do not want evil if you don't tu'min al-ghayb wa taqim al-salat wa establish a prayer and spend from that what you have bestowed upon you. So such a discussion but he concluded it is the closer to the meaning of the Quran is that these are not explanation for the word muttaqin, not tafsir, but that's rationally connected with the concept of being muttaqi is to have these attributes. Otherwise, you are not really muttaqi. But it's not the tafsir, not the explanation, not the exegesis of the word muttaqi. Now comes down to the words one by one. First word of importance here is they, obviously, is a standard pronoun or article, but yu'minun is a basic construct of the language of the day, or the who's, or who are, etc. That's a basic construct of the language, but the word yu'minun is very interesting. The translation, in fact, all the translation, they translate as belief. But as I said last time, when we started that, there's a problematic with that. What's the problematic? Yes, it has to do with belief and conviction and holding something to be true. The mental judgment of something to be true. Then you say, I judge, for example, an atheist, I judge this universe or nature to be necessarily existing and eternal. And hence there is no deity. There's no the free agent. There's no God. There's no supernatural free agent. That's his mental judgment. He holds that to be true. And he believes it. May tasdiq. But in Arabic, you have the word tasdiq. And it's used on the Quran said the places. But here, the Quran almost systematically uses yu'minun. What is and they said maybe the closer one in English will be faith, rather than those who have faith, not those who believe. But the word faith is having a problem. The problem is that originally, its original meaning is good and closer to yu'minun in iman. But the problem with that is that it has become, due to the conflicts between the church and the Christian religion, essentially in the West, and the intellectual development after the Renaissance and the independent thinker and so on, is that it became very clear that the Christian faith and the books as presented to the people to be divinely inspired, it's impossible to accept that on any real evidence. All evidences actually contradicts that. Let's face it. I know that our Christian brothers, when they listen to this, if they have accidentally listened to the halakha, may be offended, but that's the reality. There's no way it can be. It can be regarded all of it to be true and in literal sense. And in many places, you may go for certain metaphorical things that complex way, but still in some places, it's impossible to synchronize all of that. So, but people need some kind of belief, some kind of, and the intellectual did not dare in the first phases to to attack religion, say it's irrational, it is invalid, it is false, it's a false religion, it's just a superstition. Some did there that, some became atheists and so on, and said it openly and frankly, etc. But for the public people, for the general masses, they were generally simple people and believer. So they invented the theory that religion and the religious belief in God and so on must be based on faith, on trust, without any evidence. Evidence is for science and for technology and for these things. That's the evidence. Here, we don't need to have it. Just, it is like this. You feel happy to adopt it, and you adopt it. That's it. So this negative connotation came to faith and is a school of philosophy called fideism, faithfulness or something like that. And this is definitely not acceptable from Islam point of view. But this, I said, this is a later contamination of the word. It's not a genuine, original linguistic meaning of faithful or having faith or something like that. That's not the original meaning. So the original linguistic meaning was okay, but this connotation had made it a question mark on that. Maybe we should avoid the word faith and say trust. Why? Now let's go to the word iman. Iman is if'al from amana, from amn, amana. Now, what's if'al? Now, I did mention that, but you know, the Arabic language, they developed words from roots by changing in the internal rhyme and possibly adding some letters. Not prefixes and suffixes. It's not a prefix Arabic language. It is a changing the what they call wazn in Arabic, the rhyme. And they have like a master model of these wazn, like fa'ala. He did, that's the basic fi'al, fa'ala. The fi'al do is the basic one. فعل. And then you have فعل, إفعال, فعول, استفعال, all of these are derived from فعل, and you apply that to every verb, and almost every original root can be, all of these can apply, and they derive certain tastes and different meanings and different connotations. Like for example, let me give an example. For example, let's say the word طرقة, hammer. If you use the weight or the rhythm in فعل, in طرقة means being hammered. And we say about steel and iron is intiraqi. It accepts being hammered. Glass doesn't accept being hammered. Glass will splitter and disintegrate. It's brittle, but steel is malleable. Is intiraqi malleable? It can be hammered and shaped by hammering. You can do that by glass. No, that's not by glass. You have to get it in almost a liquid state and then you shape it by blowing and things like that. Not by hammering. So it's not intiraqi. انطرق استطرق meaning going through طرق or طريق, but the word طريق فعيل is that what the people hammer on step over several times, the road, because the road is that what the people, because if you are in the desert you see where people usually go on camels in ancient time, there were no paved roads, and then you see the way where camels usually go all the time and humans, it's clear that it's being hammered by the feet and it's clearly visible. While the rest is in the natural wild state, this is clearly being changed by human feet and by animal feet, especially in the mountain, because sometimes going through a mountain, ridges and so on, there's only few ways you can go along, and then you see clear that the rock there has been moved at the side, has been stepped over, has been scratched partly and so on, but everywhere it is wild and sharp and so on. This had been leveled by just my feet going all the time, and people sometimes finding like a hard rock and hammering it away and so on. And then you have not a paved road but semi-paved, being paved and being hammered. So it's tataraka. So tataraka. The same with iman is if'al from amana. If'al, for example, like qabl and aqbal or adbara, iqbal, coming to. So this is the iqbal, the nation is in a state of iqbal, the nation is rising up. Idbar, the nation in the case of decline and going away. Idbar, if'al. If'al is that from amn. Now amn, the word amn, the master amn, is the best translation of it is security and safety. And that's why they have, for example, for these government institutions and agencies, which are called state security. The United Nations Security Council called Majlis al-Amn Security. Although it's not Majlis al-Amn in reality, it's Majlis al-Fiyari and worse, but that's what they call it. to give the people it is. That's where your security lies. These institutions like the secret services and so on, they call it Amn al-Dawla, the security of the state, or Amn al-Am. Most likely it is not in its nature, but that's especially dictatorial and oppressive regimes, they present their spying organization as Amn, as security, which is really an insecurity. But we are not going to discuss the politics of that. Plenty of the Quran come of that. But linguistically, they're relying it is Amn. It's from Amn, which is security. So, if'al, i'timan, feeling Amn. So, but it is not just pure belief and tasdiq. Belief is the core, so that this is more than mere belief and holding something to be true or just making mental judgment is true. It is essentially meaning I am making myself and making you sure that you are safe from my rejection and my disagreement. If I do, I believe in you, I u'min bik, which you show to Allah, I believe in you, I amantu billah, meaning I believe that you exist, and I believe it so firmly and so strongly, that there is no room for rejection or declaring it to be false. So it has to be a tasdiq jazim, it has to be holding something to be true with certitude. And even if it's certain in itself or not, it's that matter of the mental judgment. In any case, it's the mental judgment. Not what's outside, not if it fits with external reality or does not fit. Doesn't matter. It can may fit with external reality, then it is, addition being iman, it is also ilm, it's a knowledge. It doesn't fit to an external reality based on an evidence, obviously, in that case, because you have to have the evidence for that. If it fits, if it doesn't fit reality, it's just a false belief, but it is still a belief, and you are certain, and you addressing the other side, you will be safe from my rejection and my declaring you to be false or something like that. So it's just not just pure belief. So the translation, that's the reason translation in belief is not a good translation. But what can we do? It doesn't seem to be. And the other translation, having trusting belief or faithful belief or something like that. It is the reason it is usually yu'minuna bi followed with bi, they believe in, that in is because it is of in the meaning of I testify and I believe. I testify in, I believe in. So it is, and I admit, I testify, I surrender, I declare. Like an affidavit, I declare. I am sort of say the following. I declare it, I testify that it's true to the best of my knowledge, etc. So it is, that has to be in. And if you relating it to certain people, what they are saying, it is usually with lam. And this is happens in, at least in one place in the Quran, when the children of Yaqub come back home without the younger brother, which has been held back by Yusuf, his brother, didn't recognize Yusuf yet. They told their father, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. You will not trust us or believe in to us, believe in us, or believe us generally. Except say, accept us as truthful. Not that specific statement. Generally, you have given up us to believe in whatever we say, and they are right because his reaction shows that clearly that he does not believe whatever they say. وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ, and they even offer an evidence for him, say, to verify that what we said in this specific situation. Just check with the caravan and send your own trusted people to the city or the township which we have been, and they will tell you the story because it was done publicly. It was clear publicly. There was an accusation. You people, you have stolen the measure of the king. And they say, we didn't come here to be thieves. We are coming begging for some support in the famine. So he said, and he started then with it, and then he found the measure of the king in his brother's luggage. He has arranged that with his brother, and the brother stood there silent in shame. A good piece of drama that he took the brother. All that was arranged with the brother before. And then there was such a state of shock because they were afraid. They have given a covenant to their father that they will bring the boy back, etc. Now, and one of them even volunteered, said, take me in his room. Said, no, how can we take someone who did not steal? This one is the one who stole. We'll take him. So they thought that they sent someone even to verify that, but their father was not at all willing to even to listen to their argumentation and evidence. So he does not believe in them that goes with lam. Ma antum mu'min lana, not bina lana. In anything what we say or anything we say, you're not going to accept. We know that. But here is a verification method. He refused even to look in the verification method. So that's what it goes with B and la. So this is Iman. So it is more than just belief. The Quran used tasdeeq in very few places. Let me check few places. And what's the reason it has been used there? One is, for example, in Surah Al-Layl. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ يَتَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ شَتَّى فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. Who has given and has done taqwa, meaning became God aware, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى and believed in the good, in the beautiful one, meaning the beautiful one is the paradise, because in the akhirah people believe in the husna, that there's a jannah and there's a paradise, and people say, oh, no, we just integrate and become dust. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. Here the word صَدَّقَ was used because all the issues of trust are already included in أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. He has given and he is Allah aware, so he has definitely iman. But part of the iman that which was mentioning specifically, part of the taqwa, is that he has belief and tasdeeq bil-husna. It's enough to mention tasdeeq and not mention iman. But amana bil-husna would not be necessary, because iman is definitely there, but the core community of iman is saddaq bil-husna, believe that the husna is true, that the paradise is true. And also issues obviously of the rhythm and the so of the ayah. Saddaqa here will fit in the rhythm of the ayah and how it musically works more than amana. Saddaqa has having more feature musically. And another example is Allahumma said, "Wallazi ja'a bis-sidqi wa saddaqa bihi ulaika hum al-muttaqun." The one who brought the sidq, the truth. Now the sidq meaning the truth. He brought the truth. Sidq here, that's meaning believing, but brought the truth, which is worth believing in. Sidq wa saddaq biha, and the ones who believed in him, or he, the one who believes in it also, ulaika hum al-muttaqun. Here, using the word saddaq because it rhymes what they call jinas. It is with the same letters, or the different meanings actually. The first sidq is relating to the truth, and the second one is relating to the action of believing something to be true. But because saddaqa wa saddaqa, it sounds nice, what they call jinas in the Arabic language. This is acoustically nice. So it would have said, wa amana bihi, it would have been the same, a good meaning, no problem, but it would have lost this beautiful linguistic play. That's for example. Another one, it is... in that sense, which is the one which is the one which is in Surah al yeah in Surah I think it's Surah Safat, when Allah mentions the people of paradise and real fire after they have escaped the hellfire and they went through the accounting, and they were in paradise. Now they have saved and they are in a state of being very elated. So they come to each other, say, how could that we saved and we escaped after this life full of testing and so on? How much we suffered until we got there. And one of them said, even I had a companion, a friend, a close friend, who used always to ask me mockingly, يقول أئنك لمن المصدقين. Are we really of those who believe? He uses words مصدقين, not مؤمنين, because he's mocking the mere belief. He's not mocking that distrust. He's mocking even the basic belief. How can you believe such nonsense? How can you hold that to be true? How can you make a mental judgment that there is a resurrection and there's a... That, do you believe that if we have died and we turn into bones and dust, that will be accounted? Actually, it must be mentally deranged. Don't know what you're talking about. So the one who escaped to the paradise asked the people around him, let us take a look at him. This guy must have, he's not with us, so definitely he's gone downhill. So let us check, see what has happened to him. So let us take a look. And they ask permission, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have a look. And they قال أنتم مطلعون فطلع. So he was given permission. They take a look. فطلع فرآه في سواء الجحيم. He looked and he found him in the middle of the hellfire. I said, تالله لقد إن كدت لتدين. You have almost succeeded in destroying me. Were it not for the grace of Allah Rabbi, لكنت من المحضرين. If it was not for Allah's grace on me, he's acknowledging Allah's grace on him, I would have been present with you in this hellfire. Alhamdulillah that I did not listen to your doubts and your. So he was مصدقين. He's mocking him. Are you really believing, holding it to be true? Even the basic belief is upsetting for this one who doesn't believe in the day of judgment and the resurrection. So that's the few places where tasdiq and sidq in the Quran in the meaning of holding belief, not the meaning of the truth. Sidq is the truth. And tasdiq meaning holding to be true. That's the meaning of tasdiq, believing, holding something to be true in your mental judgment, and even if it's true in itself or not. If it's true in itself on evidence, that's called ilm, knowledge. But it's more than it. Iman should be more, could be ilm, could be not ilm. Could be just by taqlid. It's not real. You don't have the knowledge in that sense. That may be explained a little bit when the people of Salih, the arrogant leader of the tribe, ask the believer, أَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ صَالِحًا مُرْسَلٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Do you know that Salih is being sent from his Lord? They answered, إِنَّ بِمَا أُرْسَلَ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. We do believe, we trust that what he has brought. Now, it does not mean that their belief here is not based on knowledge. Most likely because they are a companion of the Prophet and they have seen the miracles. It's based on knowledge, based on ilm. They know that's the reality outside. But they wanted to hint that we're having more than just ilm. We have iman. We have trust in that. It is ilm combined with a state of internal mind and heart of commitment and complete safety from rejection and giving it up. We're not going to give it up. نحن مؤمنون. Not only we have knowledge, we have more. We are firmly believing and firmly trusting and firmly. So there, the answer to أتعلمون could have been نعلم would have been a weak answer, but we are more. We are مؤمنون. So it does not mean that you should not conclude from that their iman is not necessary علم. Meaning holding something with true based on evidence and which fits the external reality because they have seen the miracle of Salih and they followed him on evidence. Maybe a later generation just by inheritance or by taqleed, by following the parents, which is not an evidence in by itself, it's just by inheriting the book. But these guys, especially the one who were arguing with the leading arrogant kafirs of their nation, they were following on evidence. And the miracles. Actually, this discussion must have been really after they have seen even the miracle of the she camel. So that's one point which is worth mentioning. It is although iman refers only to being trusting based on your mental judgment that this is the truth, with certitude, you are certain about that. It doesn't need to be ilm, like it is based on evidence or proving with certitude that's what the reality outside. It does not need. It will be perfect if it's like that, and that's the way it should be. And that's the way it should be. That's the way the iman, the real good iman and perfect iman, and the one which really stands firm in front of attacks and so on, is that of it. The one based on just following your parents or inheriting a certain belief is usually weak and can be easily blown away by doubts and so on because it's not based on rational and logical discourse and evidence. So it can be blown away very easily. That's a point. So iman need to be tasdiq jazib, firm and belief and holding something to be true in the mental judgment. Certainly, and believing it certainly to be true, and faith and trust in that topic of iman, so that you and the others are safe from your from calling it false or rejecting it. So it's not just tasdiq, but plain tasdiq. It has this component of trust which now in classical scholarship, we discuss the situation of the heart and the body. And is iman statements or tasdiqat, or it is an action? The scholars have developed a lot of theories about that. We'll discuss some of them just a little bit, so we have more clear picture about what all Islamic schools and theologians have discussed about the nature of iman, because it's a very deep and complex issue. Because it relates not only to the state of the mind, it relates also to the state of the heart, which has to do with the faith and trust. That's an action, as they say, that's an action of the heart. Trust is an action of the heart. It's not a statement of the heart. Statement of the heart is tasdiq. So they call it the tasdiq and the statement of the mind, or the judgment of the mind. They call it qawl al-qalb, the statement or the speech of the. So the heart has a speech, which is really the mental judgment, and has actions. Trust, love, hate, etc. These are actions. And many of them are under the control of the will. You can control them by will. While tasdiq essentially is not controllable. It's based on the evidence given to you. That's the reason if you have a belief based on inheritance following the parents, you do not have it built on an evidence, so you have yourself gone through them, it is very easy to shake that one and blow it away. That's the reason your belief should be also ilm, should be based on evidence and corresponding to external reality, based on the evidence. Because we don't know anything corresponding to external reality except by evidence. That's the nature of limited created knowledge, not the divine knowledge. Knowledge is absolute and not created and detecting and creative. We are not that. We don't have that. This way, the divine knowledge cannot be. There's no possibility to envisage or imagine that Allah doubting anything of his knowledge. It's impossible. That's rationally impossible. And that's the reason he is also having, beside the name Al-Alim, he has the name Al-Mu'min. Abdul Mu'min. That's one of the divine. Mu'min is a divine name. Believing in what? Believing in himself, believing in his existence, believing what has happened, believing what the reality existed, because he knows that with absolute certainty. So it deserves the word mu'min, and also he's alim of that, he is knowledgeable, he's omniscient of that. So he deserves the name alim. He has both. But unfortunately for humans, they may become asynchronous. Well, they should not be as much as possible, but that's what happens. So what happened normally. So to have iman, ideally, the valid iman, which Allah praises, and the one which worthy of hybrid is the one which is also a knowledge, is based on evidence and is fitting with the external reality. Unfortunately, this is not achievable by human, so Allah to mercy and kindness accept iman and tasdiq, even if it is not based on evidence, and may forgive even certain iman and tasdiq based on accept that even if it's just inherited by the parents, which is definitely not the same rank like the one who had it based on evidence and was in an immediate experience. So that's the correct point of view, that even the iman of the muqallid is valid and it may save in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So we do not need to force everyone to go through the evidence, but we should strive that everyone had at least a fundamental evidences about the existence of Allah and the prophethood, or even the prophethood alone, stand alone, because the evidence is for someone to be a messenger from a supernatural origin, prove that the sender exists and the message exists and the messenger there. And that's with various evidences of messengerhood, which are sometimes easier and more accessible than the very complex evidences of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they need considerable philosophical sophistication and considerable material to be taken from physics, etc. But here it is most likely much easier if you just do the necessary historic studies and study the prophecies and prophethood, or for example, in our case, in addition to the prophecies and prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which narrated by Tawatur and had been materialized later after recordation and so on, and some of it I mentioned in the Book of Tawheed. Beside that, we have in the Quran itself in our hand, in its internal consistencies and so on, also an irrefutable evidences, showing that it cannot be from Muhammad. It's impossible. Not from an Arab, not from any human being. So it must be from a supernatural. It must be from a free agent, from a conscious knowledgeable being. It cannot be from from a blind, dead nature or a necessary existing universe. So which refutes obviously atheism and proof at the same time. But this is a secondary issue about how to perfect iman. But anyway, in the time of coming to the Quran, all these who believe in ghaib and so on, based on evidence by seeing the Prophet interacting with him and seeing evidences of various type. Not everyone needs every type of evidence. Some people will need material miracles. Some people is enough for them the rational analysis of the Quran to recognize that's impossible for this man, illiterate man from Arabia, to have this from his hand. Some people just the wording and of what the Quran has is so overwhelming. Like for example, the man who came for Hajj, and he is the one who is obviously from Oman. He's most likely Oman at the time was quite well Christianized. Christianity was widespread there, it seems to be. And he was familiar with the previous books, and he was also a man who does ruqya, the spiritual healing. So Quraysh warned him, don't sit with this man, he's obsessed and he's possessed, he will twist your mind, he's dangerous, etc. See, it went so far that I put even cotton in my ears so I could not hear him. Then one time I was passing there and I heard some of his words and said, maybe I believe him, maybe my mother be believed of me, maybe I should die. If a man like myself who had read some previous scripture and who can do spiritual healing is unable to listen to this man and deal with him, then what I am? So he removed and said, what did Asim say, Muhammad, I hear that you are suffering from these flying jinn, on these spirits, and the man who can do ruqya. Let me do ruqya to you. So the Prophet said, and they have some of the scriptures. Which scriptures you have? Said, I have the book, the Majalla, the scroll of Luqman, or Luqman, or Luqa, or something like that. So I said, this is Luqman's scroll, it's good. We don't know what's Luqman. It doesn't seem the gospel, because they know it's called the gospel at the time, or Bisharat Luqa. So it's something else. It's maybe extinct, maybe it's not available now, or maybe it has other name in the European tradition. Whatever. Rasul said, show me some of it. Read the subject. Said, this is good, but I have something much more superior and better. And then he read to him some of the Quran. Said, a man was in a state of shock, because the man is a man of knowledgeable of scripture. So he said, repeat that what you have said. And he repeated a second time, say, these words have reached the ultimate depth of the ocean. It's another level of discourse. It's completely different. And you don't need that. Anyone listening to us who is not a Muslim, just go and read some few pages of, for example, let's say, John or Luke, or even the Old Testament. Yes, even Deuteronomy, which is having many injunctions and interaction and statement coming from attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read that and come and read just a few pages of the Quran. You will be just shocked. It's a completely different level of discourse. It's a completely level of the discourse. It is like someone who is comparing a book written for school children. Nice, readable for children. And you can read it to the children, explain it to them. And reading an article in a scientific magazine. This is a huge difference. This is a speech and this is a speech, but this is for a level of sophistication and human developments, which is almost childish compared with the Quran. You just read it for yourself. Don't take my word or anybody's word. So that's one way, for example. This man needed all of that. Another man needed to see an ayah. He said, the Prophet asked him, Do you need to see America say yes? And the Prophet ordered the three to come and witness that he's the messenger of Allah. And the three came and went back. And the man became a believer. This man needs this type of ayah. And he was confused and was having the desire to know. And Allah inspired his prophet that this man, while many people are asking for ayah, Prophet rejected to give them an ayah. But this is not only specific for the prophet, by the way. Even Isa was asking, according to their narrations, by many Jews for ayah. See? These sons of snakes do not deserve to see an ayah, because they know they are asking just as a matter of challenge, and they are not willing to believe. No, they don't. But when Al-Azhar died, and his sister was weeping when he came late. He asked Allah to revive Al-Azhar to be an ayah for him, but with people who believe in him anyway. nobody from the other party was present to enjoy the ayah. So, evidence is offered sometimes to those who deserve it without asking, but those who are asking for it because they don't deserve it, they're asking just to make the Prophet look funny or put him in a spot or challenge him. They don't deserve. So, but there are other evidence, because there are many other evidences they should have seen. The people of the Jews, they should have seen that this is the man who the prophecies of the Messiah, which are well established, they know it by Torah, fits on him, and nobody else. But they refuse to accept because it will not fit their desire. And it will come that despite you may in your bottom of your heart believe that something is true, but you are not willing to surrender to it, accept it, and have trust in it, and act according to it. So this is the issue of Iman bil-Ghayb. Now, let's do the word bil-Ghayb first, then go back to Iman, what the Islamic schools of theology, what they are about Iman and nature of Iman. There are a lot of confusion. We will not go into, maybe next time we'll go just like headlines. The Ash'ari say that, Ahlul Hadith say that, Ibn Hanifa say that, and so on, and try to balance and see who... Most of these statements are based on a preconceived point of view or an attempt to deal with what happened between the Muslims when they fought against each other in the Fitna Kubra, when Muawiyah betrayed and rebelled against Ali ibn Abi Talib and caused the fitna and the bloodshed. And then is he mu'min, or is those who fought with him mu'min, or they are kafir or not kafir? Or what's about Khawarij? Are they mu'min or kafir? And the Khawarij were declared Ali to be a kafir, etc. What is the criterion of Iman and Kufr? All of that made that this the first issue to be under dispute. Who is a mu'min and who is a kafir? So various schools, and because the discussion was led by partisan people who have an agenda of a party who fought against each other, it was never done in a comprehensive, way, by independent, neutral scholars, more or less. There will be never a neutral scholar, 100%, a human being, except the infallible prophets, who sit and try to go through all the Quranic evidences and put them together in a synchronized way. Someone has an agenda, someone who wants to declare Ali ibn Abi Talib kafir, because he accepted people to judge in the deen of Allah. But the deen of Allah, only Allah judge, his only judge. So he's a kafir because of that. That's enough for them. And then they build all the theory around that, neglecting all other evidences. The same with those who want to declare the party of Muawiyah to be a kafir, etc. And go all of that, etc. You see the point? Because with this partisanship, none took all the evidences on board. It took decades after that, and maybe several centuries, until some kind of streamlined theory, even up to Razi time, there was still some deficient point there, which I'll explain next time. But we leave that for next time, because it needs maybe a halakha by itself, the various points of views about the people of Qibla, about Iman, and the nature of Iman. Now, what's bil-Ghayb? You know, believe in Ghayb. Now, Ghayb is definitely, the Quran is saying human beings are limited beings. An unlimited being, a divine being, for the divine being, there is no called ghaib. There's nothing ghaib in that sense. Absolutely, there's no ghaib. So the ghaib is that what is not accessible to our senses directly. Is ghaib. So Yawm al-Qiyamah. We have a report about Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it is, but it's not accessible. It's through a report. And the one who reporting it claim to be receiving it from the one who knows everything and controls everything. That claim is also in itself part of the ghaib. I will mention that why. In the next ayah, said the Luminu Banzi Laikum Azim al-Qablik. What's the revelation to Muhammad? Is that ghaib or shahada? It's actually ghaib. If you look, for example, when the Prophet received the Wahi, most of the time it is either in a dream, rarely, but sometimes the angel comes to him and speaks to him, and he answers the angel. We don't see. He claims that. That's what he claimed. At the first point, he claims Jibreel came to me and said something. We didn't see Jibreel. We didn't see how to talk to him. He just was answering. For example, he was on the pulpit one day, and then he suddenly stopped the khutbah, say, as if you're talking to someone there in the end of the masjid, say, Ameen, And then remained silent a little bit, said, Ameen. And then we go back to his sermon, say, what did you say? He said, Ameen, three times. We don't know what's going on. Say, Jibril came and hold the two doors of the masjid and say, Muhammad, whoever gets hit by both bears, are one of them, when they are old and he's out of age and is not so kind and virtuous and righteous to them that he entered the masjid, then may his nose be in the dust and may be degraded. Say, Ameen. I said, Ameen. And then mention another, whoever is in a gathering or in a situation and hears your name and doesn't say salah on you, salli alayk, may his nose be pushed in the dust. Say, Ameen. I said, Ameen. That's what we have to trust him on that because we have. But that's what has happened. This revelation is ghaib. He claims that he has a revelation. Yeah, this is ghaib. Based on evidences, one of them is this Quran, one of them, plenty of them are the prophecies, where some of them are the expanded very in details, the book of Tawheed, which fulfilling all the so-called Einstein conditions of a valid prophecy, are there. So we know with certitude that he's a prophet. And by being a prophet reporting from Allah, in his reporting from Allah, it must be infallible. By minimal condition on prophethood. So we believe that with certitude. But based on these evidences, but the revelation itself, Ma'unzila, that's coming down to him, is ghaib. We are not actually. Most of the time, he receives it in the form of being in a state of trance, sweating, become red in the face, and often they hear from his surrounding him a sound like a sound of bees, or sharper like a sound like the ghatit al-bakr, like the snoring of the young camel, snoring, not the rugha al-ba'ir. Rugha al-ba'ir is when the camel awake and open his mouth. That's not that. It is like a something like that. It's not far away from the tanin nahal. And this could be said, this is obviously because someone could say this is actually his throat is vibrating somewhere. Okay, assume it's true. But how to explain that he doesn't fall? Some Western so-called scholar claimed this is a kind of epilepsy. Show and it was one single epilepsy in history which has this same appearance. This is the narration you relate. These are narrations, all of them together you rely on the afterwater in various occasions. You rely on these narrations and claim that's epilepsy. So, okay, so you rely on the description, and this is, since you rely on the description, and these narrations are in all totality, proven certitude that he was showing these sounds were here, and he was showing this behavior. So get us one epilepsy in history which have similarity. In all epilepsies, the epileptic will fall on ground, have maybe forms in his mouth, and maybe unable to control his body. That's not happened to him ever. He was sitting, and explain us how he's sitting on the camel. When he received the revelation, the camel becomes so burdened with the weight, which nobody can see, that the camel goes in sitting. And the camel is a tough animal. It can carry easily a half ton to three quarter of a ton, meaning an enormous pressure has come down on the camel. There's no way Muhammad can exercise that pressure on the camel. How can he exercise? He's just sitting like that. And the camel is feeling such an enormous weight getting him to kneel down and go down in sitting. So explain us that. There's something other than an epilepsy, something different. And it has been narrated, honestly, from the narrator, what they have seen. But that's what they see. What is that? This is the front of the showing a gate to the ghaib. But what's behind that is ghaib. So ghaib is not only Yawm al-Qiyamah, not only the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is behind the veil, so he's in ghaib. He's not present in that sense. Although he's present through the causes and effects, but this needs a very deep intellectual and spiritual experience. It is not by immediate sensual experience. It's not by looking on something. When I look, for example, out of the window, I say, oh, there's a dumpster there for recycling, because I see it and I went there and put things, I'm certain about that. That's not ghaib. And I kind of conclude, because it's a standard in every house, there is a dumpster, maybe a small one for a small house, is that I conclude every house has one. with certitude, because I have seen that, I have reported, and you know that the council does that. It does not mean that this specific house have this at this moment, which I'm not seeing, because maybe that collection point has been damaged by a car or has been stolen by someone. It happens sometimes that your rubbish basket is taken by someone whose rubbish basket was broken and he is too lazy to go to the council to get another one. That's the reason most people now write the number, the street number, so on the basket. But as a general principle, yeah, this is not ghaib. I see it and I read it and I know it's at the council regulation what it is. So that's the difference. So ghaib is anything which is not accessible to the direct senses, with hearing and seeing and so on. That's ghaib. So what is happening now at the moment in Washington DC is ghaib for me. It's present for the people, it's ghaib for me. I know something is happening, people are living there and so on. I know that by necessity for narration and so on, by tawatur and by reports. And by, if I over the television and there's someone reporting live over a demonstration there, then I see it, then it is not ghaib. So that's ghaib. So it's ghaib more general than some people think. And it is relative to human beings and to positions. For Allah, there is no ghaib. When Allah said, "Man ya'lamu ghaib as-samawati wal-ard illa Allah," meaning the ghaib for you, the ghaib for certain beings. Maybe what we experience on earth is part of it is not ghaib for us, and part is maybe still ghaib. But whatever happening in another planet, maybe in a galaxy far, far away, billions of years, they may be a planet there and their beings who are conscious, maybe similar to us or another shape, and they have their indulgence and their problems. Maybe have a war ongoing now. It's ghaib. We don't know about that. And we have only no connection, I report. But this is present for Allah, but not for us. So that is important to recognize that ghaib is much more general than people think. So that's the iman bi ghaib. That's the first important feature about these or necessity related being muttaqeen. They must be those of you bil ghaib. Otherwise, you are not warning evil, not muttaqi, because just seeing the material universe, I mean, we are not aware about Allah and existence, not aware about Allah creation in the universe, not aware of these fundamental principles which are not accessible to direct sensual experience as subject, but finally concluded from sensual experience data of sensual experience, and then by complex and laborious conclusion process established with certitude and rational concourse. I think that's, then we continue, inshallah, with the next week, inshallah, maybe we give a summary what the Islamic schools about Iman, the nation of Iman. Is it just a statement or is it a witness with the tongue? Is it an action of the heart? Is the action of the body an external action? Is Salah Iman or part of Iman? Or is it only Mijaz? Is that fruit or the product of Iman? Without going in too much in the controversy, but it may help a little bit to distinguish between what the correct or close as possible to Islam, because I said Iman is a very complex issue, as close as possible to all what is dictated by Quran and Sunnah, and settling some of these questions which have been a dispute between especially Khawarij and mainstream Muslims and some other groups about what is the nature of Iman. And most important, that has been the issue, because if you are not mu'min, then you are a kafir. So who is then the kafir? Who is one of the fold to us, one who is against us, possibly, or potentially against us? That has some relevance. And in a few ayahs, we'll be getting to the kafirin. And kufr is the opposite of iman in the sharia, not linguistically. So we have to do that a bit of justice by one halaqa by itself. The schools of Islamist, the point of view about Iman in various schools of Islamist, and try to clarify some issues like that and show that certain fallacies are problems with certain definitions which contradicts Quran and Sunnah, and show why it should be. But I said most of these points emerged because there were infighting and there were partisanship and there were hostility. And in such an environment, rational and comprehensive points of view do not develop easily. They develop only in a calm, rational, thoughtful atmosphere, devoid of partisanship and hostility and fight and infights. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
InshaAllah, excuse me. There are no questions today.
Okay. Tomorrow 6, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah. Is there any feedback you want to share with the brothers in regards to the questions or?
No, we'll go through them, inshallah. But let them decide if they want to. You read the questions, and we allow maybe some interjection, a little bit of interjection, so it's more question answer, or discuss with them what is what. I think the best you present a question. I try to answer a portion. Say any other question related to that, and then they can say it orally, for example. But we try to be precise.
Sorry, Sheikh. I said one question. Am I right to read it out?
Yeah, go ahead, bro. Sorry, I didn't see it.
Yeah. So, okay, I've had a discussion with somebody once, and they used tafsir to justify, wait for it, the earth is flat. And what category does that fit into? Does deep yakin or just general stupidity?
The general stupidity. That's they didn't understand the wording, they didn't understand the context, and they take it out of the concept. That's their problem. That's their fundamental problem. That's you read the ayah and you do not understand the broader meaning. Like for example, when they come with the story of Dhul Qarnayn, and they say some of the atheists now, and the Arab atheists, they are very low. Actually, the Arab atheism is there's barely anyone there which you could really intellectual standing. Barely. But it's general atheism all over the world, by the way. Even Dawkins here doesn't have a respectable intellectual standing level, but it's much better than the Arab atheists, to be sure. But they, for example, as they say, فَوَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ وَجَدَهَا هُوَ. He found the sun setting in a في عين حامية, in a well or in a lake, source of sweet water. That's a lake عين حامية. حامية, either it is hot or it is muddy. So that's how he found it. It's not that she is sitting like that in the عين حامية. When the Quran says about the sun rising to the people that came from that al-yameen wa taghrubu anhum that al-shimal, so the sun is the one moving reality. We know the sun is not moving. The earth is rotating. But as you see it as visible, wa tara ash-shamsa idha gharabat tazawara ka bidat yameen wa tala'at tazawara ka bidat yameen wa idha gharabat taqridhum dhat al-shimal. Tara, you see. Not that it's the reality in itself, as known to Allah in his absolute coordinates. And so this is happening from a reading, which I call it should we call donkey style reading? I don't want to be abusive or insulting, but that's, we'll come to these things and we'll show in a minute. When we get to Adam's story, but even before, you will see that There are plenty of blunders and mishaps like that. Even next week when we are talking Iman, even when Razi make a good summary, he still have a shortcoming because he neglected what he said about Iman. It is not just tasdeeq, it is more their trust and acceptance and surrender. He did not include that. That's the definition of Iman Shari. That's the reason Quran didn't use the word tasdeeq except in one or two places, justified as I mentioned. So that's from the shallow and not deep understanding of the Quran and not comparing one place to the other. Yeah? Because the Quran has to use a language which every simple man in Arabia, illiterate behind his camel, can understand and have some benefit from it. But also the sophisticated scholar in the future can have a benefit from it. And it fulfills that, but you have to do a little bit more work than necessary. Yeah? Like, for example, the shallow way of, it's called a donkey way of reading. I mentioned the last ayah of Surah Al-Fath, which contained the 29 letters, all of them, etc. Muhammad Rasulullah, the Imam Shudda al-Kufar, Rahma Bainahum. All the Prophet are Shudda al-Kufar, Rahma Bainahum. All of them are noble and excellent and so on. They didn't even bother reading the ayah. Why Allah said, وعد الله الذين آمنوا منهم وعملوا صلاة. Allah promised those who have faith, have iman or trust and make good deeds, these and these things. مغفرتنا أجل. Only these are promised. Not all of these were apparently fighting hard with the kuffar, and those who seem to be kind with the believer. Maybe he's kind because the people, the believer around him, are the believer of his own tribe, his tribal, like Ghuzman, the one who fought in Uhud very vigorously, and then when he was dying, they say, congratulations, you are going to paradise. Which paradise? There's no paradise. We're going to dust and bones. I was fighting just for the honor of my tribe. So he was fighting more ferocious than the Muslims. Very tough on the mushrikeen in Uhud. Is he a believer? Is he promised any forgiveness? No. But these guys have a mental block when it comes to some perceived concept, one in one aspect, and to the desire to be to especially educated by muqallideen, and the West from muqallideen, the Wahhabi, educated to be shallow and simple-minded. If you educate in this way, it's very difficult. And this will invite, obviously, doubt and attacks against Islam. One of the purposes of this is to clear some of these doubts and show where is the pitfall. So when we get to that, inshallah, various issues like that, issues of Adam, the story of Adam, etc., we will find tons of other things which are shocking. So be ready for that. Okay, so that's it. Now, this is just people have lost trust in the reality of the Quran and think it is trivial. It is shallow. It is not. It is much deeper than they think.
Regarding tomorrow, would you do you have sufficient? Have you had a chance to look at the questions? Because there's quite a few.
Yeah, I took a look at it. Yeah, this is the standard one. It's the same. We are digging hundreds of years now in it. But we'll try to answer that. So we have
the logic behind it. Is this, Sheikh? Is that? I know. A lot of people we can take on. We can pass the message and they can carry the dawah.
That's no doubt. But I think many of the people belonging to Hizb are just stuck in that. And I don't say they are hopeless, but many of them are very, really hopeless. They are stuck there and they're
not. No, but Sheikh, there's a lot of people.
But we'll answer all this
question. It's melting down. It's basically we need to. It's like.
We will do that. We are doing it tomorrow, inshallah. No doubt about that. But I say more important what the people, the young people in the universities, what they're hearing about things and attacks against Islam and what's the relation to Black Lives Matter. That's more actual and important than Hizb ut-Tahrir. Trust me. That's the way of the future. Hizb ut-Tahrir is the past. Uh-huh. Although some of the Shabab are good and if they come on board, they will enrich. Definitely, without any doubt. But also the Muslim Brotherhood, those are the past. The Muslim community, general Muslims, the new Muslims, the new generation is the way to forward, is the way to future. Mm-hmm. So we shall. But we'll handle that, inshallah. I don't think we will be even able to even if we spend 3 hours tomorrow to finish them, which we can split, and we have tried to have convenient stops and cut it in various halakas. But we'll try to answer this question and give them the due reasoning with the evidences and so on.
Excellent. Excellent.
Good. There are a couple other questions, Sheikh, but I think it's best we roll them on to next week.
Yeah, or add them in the document and send it. So they are related also to the establishing a state and hamling da'wah and parties?
No, this is in, these are the questions that came up during the halakha in the chat.
Ah, okay. Today? Okay. We can also repeat. Rash's question is not related to the halakha very much. Leave it as a secondary one just. But the other ones related to halaqa will come, inshallah, for next week, inshallah.
Yeah, inshallah.
Okay.
Great.
Jazakallah,
Sheikh. Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will stop the recording now. Bismillah.